Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Incubator Podcast. I'm your co-host, Aaron Boyd.
And this is Sabir Asran. And today we're bringing you the topic of observability. Now, what is observability contrasted to traditional monitoring? Well, it's the ability for you, the customer, the client, the user, to ask your environment a question and understand its state without hopefully necessarily shipping any new code. And today, for this topic, we're joined by Datadog VP Mark Weissman. Now, Mark, coming from Datadog, which is a leading industry platform for cloud monitoring, application performance monitoring, traceability, and many other things, will hopefully shed some light on this for us as we go.
Yeah, Mark, we're super excited to have you. Thank you for joining the show. We look forward to getting into a lot of details in this domain. As Sabir said, this is it's an interesting domain. And it's a fairly large domain. We're seeing a lot of our customers are having increasingly challenges deploying, delivering, and operating code. And this is going to be one of those domains that certainly help with that. So thank you for joining. If you could, Mark, maybe we can start by just saying, maybe you can give an introduction to yourself and an introduction to Datadog, maybe a little bit beyond what Sabir said, and then we can kind of dive into the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you guys for having me on. Really excited to have this conversation. So my name is Mark Weissman. I am, as you said, one of the VPs of product at Datadog. I've been at Datadog for a little over 6 years, and I'm responsible for some parts of the core platform features, as well as some of our on-call experience products as well. So in terms of who is Datadog, so we are a monitoring and security platform. We started way back as really focused on infrastructure monitoring. And over the last 10 years, we've been expanding quite a bit through APM, log management, all of our digital experience monitoring, and most recently, security monitoring. So there's a lot of stuff that's in there. And we're really about giving you end-to-end, top-to-bottom visibility to the health of your applications.
No, thank you for that. So then, Mark, why don't we start the conversation around this? If you could, maybe you can help us with a definition of observability. It's an interesting topic. Some folks talk about the three pillars: metrics, logs, traces. Other folks have been pretty critical of that, saying that unfortunately that leads to people thinking about this in isolation. So other folks have suggested we look at it as pipes. There's the intention of observability. There's the goals of observability. There's all these activities. So maybe you can help us and help the viewers by starting with, what is your definition and how should we look at observability as an orienting statement?
Yeah, oh man, that's a big question.
It's tough, it's a loaded one.
Maybe it gets into some religious wars as well.
That's fair.
I'd say, look, the end result is really about ensuring that you're aware of the current health of your applications and your business as a whole. Observability is really about understanding those systems in context so that you can connect dots across. You mentioned three pillars of metrics, logs, and traces, but it's really about being able to see the whole story. Each one of those are different facets of a given problem. And you know, beyond that, there's, you know, as I mentioned, we started with infrastructure monitoring, which is really the health of the underlying systems that are running your applications. But what's critical to understand in order to really successfully deploy and operate these services is that full picture. What are customers experiencing? If you see slowdowns, are those slowdowns a result of the underlying infrastructure, or is there something about the code that's running on that? And it really goes to, you know, it continues to expand out to understand how can you get enough of a picture that you can stop issues before they get to production? How can you catch trends before they become downtime in your services? So observability really is to support this end goal of ensuring that your systems are up, that you have a good grasp on what's happening in your systems, and that you can deploy changes with the confidence knowing that your systems won't be affected by them.
No, that makes sense. Thank you for that, Mark. So with that, how do you view the concept of bringing that picture, that, you know, positionality, if I may, or context around applications, around the health altogether? There's many technologies out there that saying, hey, we are able to stitch these views together in a auto discover set of metrics or measurements and things of that nature. Let's call it dashboarding. How does Datadog actually accomplish that so you can have a position of observability to start out with?
Yeah. So Datadog is really focused on, first and foremost, making sure that the presentation of the data that gets sent to us is consumable by the and consumable and useful really to the most advanced users, as well as folks who may not be familiar with monitoring tools that just need sort of a clean view, a high level executive view of whether things are red or green, overall health. And so first and foremost, we're focusing on making sure that all of this data that you're sending to us is accessible across the organization, across teams. It's really focused on ensuring that people can collaborate on common information and common data. And in order to allow the most people to collaborate on that data, these need to be tools that can be accessible for all levels of experience. So that's really how we think about the presentation. This presentation, the user experience is really an area, a huge area of focus for us. And every feature, every new product that we release, first and foremost, is focused on ensuring that the broadest set of users can extract value from that. I'll back up and talk about just how we get data in. So what's most important if you're going to pursue observability is bringing all this information into a central place, into a central platform. And that's really where Datadog shines. So we are essentially able to consume, we have 400 plus integrations, and we really focus on being able to consume data coming from your hosts, whether they're on-prem or cloud-based, whether it's containers or serverless functions, or across the board. And we're bringing in information like specific metrics, but also traces, understanding how a request travels through your system in order to meet an end-to-end goal, and all the various logs that may be coming in from different sources. And again, connecting the dots between all of them with tags by being able to use things like injecting IDs that allow you to link a specific trace to a log. And to ensure that you can then get a complete picture. So what's really important here is that with Datadog, you're sending all this information into us, you are attaching metadata with that data, and then you're able to quickly filter and group according to that metadata within the platform. And so, so far I've mentioned metrics, logs, and traces, but we're going beyond that with observability into real user monitoring. So what is the actual experience of your end users? What kind of latency are they experience when they hit a page or an API endpoint? We're looking at synthetic tests, and you're able to then test a particular endpoint or do automated browser tests. And so again, in service of this notion of observability, it's bringing all that information together so that you can see all of the related aspects, networking, on and on.
Yeah, I think there's so many important things to unpack there. What I love about that is persisting context, as you said, can help with collaboration. It can pinpoint issues in very complex scenarios now. But it also enables other things. To your point, it talks about you can get into other categories, such as RUM, such as all the synthetics, such as continuous observability or continuous perspectives, continuous performance monitoring, et cetera. But it also has some real implications elsewhere. I love the fact that when you persist context, we can have really interesting dialogues in a FinOps context. We can talk about developer experience. We can talk about we can talk about going further into things like GDPR and CCPA, where because we have context now, as you store elements, adding that context can give us a greater security perspective, et cetera. So observability and the things coming out of the space, I think, have such a broad applicability over time. And maybe it's a good chance for us to switch gears a little bit and talk about some of those futures. We've seen Datadog has been making some incredible acquisitions. Timber was a great one from the observability pipeline space. You've got Undefined Labs. I think Screen was one of your latest acquisitions. Can you talk to us a little bit about where does this space go? Where is it developing, and what role does Datadog have in that? I think that would be helpful.
Yeah, sure. So I think what's important to note is from the very beginning, we saw ourselves as a platform we happened to start with infrastructure, which was really helpful because people were then deploying the Datadog agent pretty broadly, which meant that we were already in the places that you needed us in order to capture not just infrastructure data, but all this additional application data. And so So we started really with this notion of a platform in mind. And we really, I think it's also important to note that Datadog started to solve the problem of people being in silos. At the time, it was dev and ops, right? Where there was operations metrics were very separate from what engineers were looking at for their applications. There was lots of finger pointing, nobody looking at common tools. It's really, you know, the genesis of Datadog is right around the birth of the DevOps movement as well, which was just kind of a happy accident, I guess. But people just recognizing that this was a real problem. And I think that essentially the reason that these came to be around the same time is because it was just becoming clear that that was the problem. So as I mentioned, we started as a really with the notion of platform in mind. And the, you know, thinking about the fact that when you're looking at your infrastructure data, it is only so helpful without the context of the application data. And when you're looking at that application data, it is only so helpful without the context of all the logs that allow you to see the specifics, not just the trends of what's happening, not just metrics, but really being able to pinpoint precisely what happened in a given moment. And that, you know, as we added that, then, you know, sure, I know what my system is doing and I know how my applications are doing, but how are my customers experiencing that? So the addition of ROM. And with each of these, you know, some through acquisition, some through building, but, you know, things like our log management product came to be start from an acquisition. Real user monitoring also came to be ultimately from an acquisition. And so as we keep adding these additional areas, they're kind of the clear next step, the additional context that you need to see in order to get a more complete picture. And so when we're approaching acquisitions, it's really with this idea of how can we, so first off, when we're looking to companies, we're looking to find companies who share common values with us in terms of the emphasis on usability, the emphasis on the customer and the end user, and how it is that they can most easily make sense of the data that they're looking at. And then we say, all right, you guys built something awesome. We love what you've done here. How can you take everything that you've learned, put it in the context of this powerful platform, and let's build from the ground up to give our joint customers now the best possible experience of connecting those dots together. And so, yeah, that's what you've seen with, you know, you mentioned Vector and Timber, you mentioned Undefined Labs, and most recently Screen with our security suite that we've been working on. And that's really the same story each and every time. It is, we look for an excellent team. We sort of mind meld with them. We learn from them. We share our platform with them and our experience on the platform side. And then we build something even better.
Well, Mark, if you want to announce your next acquisition on the incubator here, we'd love that too.
Yeah. First. We'll save that for the end.
We're seeing, though, that I think I read somewhere, Mark, and I don't know if this is true, Datadog averages one new feature per day, which is pretty remarkable. 40% of your employees are in R&D, like 70% revenue growth. I have written here 44% of customers using greater than three products. That is a phenomenal growth. I don't know how much of that is absolute truth, but I will say that you guys have been doing some incredible things from a feature perspective. And I think your customers clearly are appreciating it.
I can tell you just quickly, I can tell you from day one, from the moment that I joined Datadog, you know, I mentioned I've been here for a little over 6 years. And from day one, the first customer call that I was on was someone who was saying, hey, look, I've got some feedback. I've got some requests. But before I say any of that, I just want to tell you how much the work that you guys have done, the application that you guys have here, is improving my day-to-day, is improving my team's day-to-day. And that was when we were, you know, single infrastructure monitoring. And since then, it's been the same story time and again. So it's been really exciting to be on this journey, you know, with the company and having those conversations with customers.
That's awesome, Mark. And on that note, from a customer's perspective, as VP of product, you get to hear much about the customer experience, leveraging and using Datadog products. So where is that experience kind of, where do you see it really maturing out in terms of what's actually being implemented well, and where are customers actually now grasping with adopting what all the things we just talked about in terms of observability and hitting that kind of next level of visibility or observability at the end of the day?
Sure. So, you know, I think going back 5 years or so, even there was still this question of whether or not some large companies could use a SaaS solution, for instance, whether or not they were going to the cloud and migrating their applications. And I feel like what's become very clear over the last several years is that it's, you know, that that is no longer, it's pretty much a given, right? For the most part, companies are moving their workloads to the cloud or some hybrid environment. Now, now we're in a state where it's actually not so much do we move to the cloud, but how do I deal with the fact that I need to have a hybrid, that I need to have a multi-cloud, that I might be on two or three different cloud providers, and I might have, you know, multiple services across the board, plus maybe my OpenShift and a number of other like on-prem applications as well. And so it's really about, I think, you know, we've gone through that first bit of do we do cloud or can we use SaaS, and now it's just a given.
Who's doing it really well? And I don't mean literally who's doing it from an enterprise client perspective, but how would you describe the entities that are doing this really well?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I'd say I think we see, you know, it's not necessarily a class of like a vertical or a class of customer that is or isn't doing it well. What you see is really it's really about the organization themselves. What do they value? How do they operate? To what extent they're giving, you know, to what extent the most senior leadership values, you know, the business objectives that can be accomplished by moving to the cloud. To what degree? I think what's important to say is that it is also ensuring, I think the ones who are doing it well are also keeping in mind the business objectives, that it's not just about moving to the cloud for the sake of moving to the cloud, but about understanding the degree to which that helps you more efficiently deliver to your customers, that it helps you, you know, add new applications quickly, you know, refine processes and refine the technologies that you use and iterate. So I think the ones who are doing it most effectively are keeping those business goals in mind first and foremost, not just getting caught up in the technology. And again, I think they, you know, there are financial institutions that we work with who are really, you know, cutting edge, surprisingly so. And there are companies across the board that are in maybe differing levels, but it really, I would say, is more about the company mindset, the way the engineering teams are working together. It is often in those organizations that have a bit more of an appetite for openness, for collaboration, where you see them being able to take most advantage of what's happening.
Yeah, I think we so we have our own experience in this domain, and I find that when we go and talk to enterprises, naturally speaking, there's different cohorts and different capabilities in an organization, and so. While the mindset might be we are ready to start adopting more cloud native, containerization, and different, I'd say, patterns that are, you know, stage DDA, event-driven microarchitecture, whatever it is, there's a reality that hits, which is, hey, we have folks that maybe are just starting to check in their code into a repo to folks that are more on that progressive side. I saw a poll recently, only a couple months ago, that said 74% of people polled in this Harris poll were struggling to achieve an ROI, and yet 85% of them were still very, very bullish on the idea of observability. Now, traditionally, we've been in this space a long time. Usually when the ROI can't be achieved or there's struggle to achieve, then a lot of folks pass on that particular evolution of the domain. But in this case, people are still very bullish. So, and I don't know if this is an easy thing to address, but Mark, I don't know if you have ideas or even looking at your install base, how are folks finding purchase of observability when there's this spectrum of capability? Does it make sense to start in the middle and then branch out to the more complex and drag other teams along? Does it make sense to start with the most complex and work your way back? Where are people finding some success? Do you do it in pockets? Do you look at team topologies and say, look, platform engineering builds a certain function, enabling teams are then come in and help people onboard into that function. Have you, is Datadog able to give any guidance on what works best to actually start? Because that one's a real interesting paradigm, right? When you go from monolith all the way through to cloud native in across several teams in one org, Do you have any thoughts on where people can really look to begin?
Yeah, so I think that is also, obviously we see a lot of variety of approaches that are working. I think what maybe the most common approach that we find success with in working with customers is when there are a dedicated group, maybe it's a handful of teams who again have a clear set of goals of what they're trying to accomplish, who are willing to be flexible about the things that they've done till now, what's worked, what hasn't worked, and to be really open to new ways of working, to think about, understand what's most important to them and work with us to ensure that that they get the most value. And what we're finding then is that when we set up these pockets, you know, you mentioned pockets, that's probably the best way to think about these, is that when we have this first pocket of success, that then you get other teams who are saying, why, you know, how can we get to use what they're doing? Because we're seeing, you know, we get teams who have dashboards up, you know, on monitors in their workspaces. Maybe that's a little harder for us to get the free advertising by monitors on workspaces these days. But essentially they're using all of these tools to resolve issues more quickly, to share, collaborate on these dashboards, to easily throw things in Slack. There's all kinds of things that are happening. And so, yeah, I think that's really where we often find the easiest way to prove success and then grow quickly. And what's been great is that we often find that that's the case, that once we are able to work with a team or a subset of teams to figure out, iron out some of the kinks, make sure that they feel comfortable. You know, what's really important is that especially in large organizations, there's a lot of stuff that doesn't change very quickly. And so in order for us to be successful, in order for these teams to be successful, they have to really understand what can and can't change within their own organizations, what's most important to ensure success. And so, yeah, so I think that's primarily how we are able to get in the door. Now, there are certainly some cases where we work with larger organizations where there's a mandate from above and we might roll in and we still try to enable teams in that same way, you know, for us to work with teams just because their bosses told them to, or, you know, it does not end with success. So whenever we're engaging in any part of the organization, the first thing that we're focused on is, tell us about your goals. What are you trying to accomplish? What's worked? What isn't working? How can we start there, and then start branching out? And I think thing to note is that I apologize. One last thing to note is just that given the number of products that we have, given just the number of facets, the complexity of the problem that we're all faced with day in and day out, starting with everything is not going to help, right? So we want to try and solve problems in a more systematic way. And so identify what are the first things that are, you know, where's the biggest friction in your team's understanding the healthier systems? Where's the biggest friction in when you get paged, where are you spending the most time right now? How can we help cut that down? And so it's once we understand the pain, then we can say, hey, look, we think, let's start putting everything on a dashboard, understanding your infrastructure, understanding, let's say, traces, you know, using distributed tracing, you can understand latency in your applications, you can get a better picture here, or on and on, going from there, but really starting with the customer problems first.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to look at it. What we find is some organizations, some very large enterprises, they'll have, you know, team topologies that seem to align to more product mode way of thinking. And so they'll have platform engineering that can own parts and parcel of observability. The largest teams will also have enabling teams. But what I find is, or what we find is, most of the customers we're talking to, they sit in this kind of an in-between where they'll have some streamlined teams. They'll have some developers, they're out there, they're developing, they're doing things. And then they'll have platform engineering. And typically, that's those two distinctions. They may not have other teams that can help onboard and make usability a focus. And so I find we get in this interesting, I don't want to call it a trap, but an interesting place where the platform engineering team focuses on building the most capability possible. Mm-hmm. And by doing that, they have completeness of vision. And now they're guaranteeing maximal use case alignment. However, if that platform that they're building all of that capability into is not terribly usable, or it's very hard to get on-ramped, especially as a new team that maybe some of these paradigms are a little foreign, then adoption suffers. And so if an organization really has the distinction of groups, then I think you can kind of bifurcate your focus. But what we're finding is more and more, it is a platform engineering team that does it all. And to your point, Mark, one of the things we try and encourage folks to do is start somewhere, start with where you can see some of the edges of what you want to build, and build that first, right? Get your wins. Then we can start talking about adoption and usability, but don't try and take on every use case that you can imagine, because success will elude, right? That's what we're finding, at least. And it sounds like by focusing on focus, you may be agreeing with some of that concept, but that's our experience, at least.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd say the other thing that's important here is a bit of planning in advance. So we love when anyone can just jump right in and start using things. But if you're in a large organization and you're thinking about, for instance, agreeing on some basic, what are the fundamental tags that you want to have in place? What are the formats for those tags so that we can align on, are we using environment? Are we using ENV? Are we using, what are we doing here so that we can make sure that there is that top to bottom visibility? You're not going to catch everything up front, but there are some basics that we work with customers on before larger deployments to make sure that they've just thought through some of those things. You know, if we can understand to what degree the organizations, the teams that we're working with work across other teams, and to try and find ways that those teams can then come to some agreement of basic terms and requirements, then the whole thing gets, it rolls out a lot more smoothly.
So that reminds me of one thing, if I may. So what you just said there, I think, is so important, is that discussion up front. Because even if we're looking at tags, your tags should be externally important and internally consistent. But that opens up something else too, which is, if the folks that are developing aren't exposing the right data, right? Because we're increasing cardinality with observability. We're adding in all this other context and tags that has to propagate through a system. So if you get those wrong, then your tag bag approach can become a tag gag approach, or maybe a tag lag approach. So getting some of those things right up front is incredibly important. And I find that people don't necessarily spend enough time on it, but you need some of these things. So in other words, observability starts with the product teams. What do they want to expose? What events and messages and logs, et cetera, are they going to expose? And then how do we all agree on how we're going to propagate that information, I think, is an incredibly important dialogue.
Absolutely. And just to add to that, so we're all talking, at the end of the day, what should be or ought to be DevOps, dev engineering, working together with the operational folks, sitting down at the table, having this discussion about, you know, what things should be, what is this data, what are the tags, et cetera, and defining it. But in that process, what's really important is you bring the product teams, the app teams, the dev folks into the operational world that they traditionally didn't understand, but now they get to define it as they would actually use it. And, you know, building on the kind of the definition or theme of observability that we're talking about here is we want to be able to have anyone concerned with a particular application be able to utilize that system, ask the questions, and probe it proactively, not just when things are wrong. And so in this process of planning and working through all of this minutiae, let's call it, you are actually learning how to operate your system, but more importantly, understanding more about how your application performs and thereby improving kind of the end-to-end flow of things. So agree, I guess, is the equation in terms of like that extra effort spent on planning and working with the product teams. The product teams have to be at the table. The application developers need to be at the table with the ops guys to start establishing what observability means to within your environment, within your organization as a whole.
Yep. And I think that's a huge positive that's come out of, I mean, lots of things have come out of this DevOps movement, but this idea of thinking about this stuff up front, making sure that it's not just throwing things over the wall, but understanding the health of things. When we're building, what does it mean to operate? What does it mean for this to be healthy? What are my expectations for uptime, for, you know, a number of things, that by having those conversations up front, as you said, it helps them plan for that observability up front. And then it just makes this whole process much easier to roll out. And of course, that's great when you're building something new. Greenfield is always a much nicer place to be from that perspective. But the reality is that a number of customers, the majority of customers, are working with applications that are built. And yes, they're trying to build new, and yes, they're adding to it. But it is often the case that they don't quite get that benefit of planning at that moment. But it's really about as soon as possible, thinking about this collectively just makes the whole rollout and ability to manage these services at scale that much easier.
Yeah. Now, go ahead.
One thing I was going to say, Mark, or I should say ask, is Mark, you mentioned legacy. What do you see for those customers, clients, enterprises that are coming from a monolithic environment, heavy monolithic environment? Let's call it, 80-20, where 80% traditional applications, legacy, monolithic, whatever you'd like to call it, 20% born in the cloud, cloud native, they're ready to go. So those teams are probably more apt to establish observability. But let's not forget about the rest of the 80 that are behind. How would you suggest they evolve in this context, right? We talked about DevOps. Sure, the principles all still persist in terms of getting together. But from an application perspective, how would you kind of break that down from a monolithic organization evolving?
So I think what's important, the way that I look at it, the way that we as an organization look at it is, these applications aren't going away. I will stay away from even saying, legacy. I think the reality is these are companies that spent, millions, hundreds of millions, whatever, on infrastructure that isn't going to go away anytime soon, much to the maybe consternation of some people who happen to work on them right now. But what's really important to recognize is that we still need to ensure that they are observable, that you're able to see them in the context, in the greater context. And so that's really where our starting point is. There are certainly some technologies, if I'm speaking Datadog specifically, there might be some older technologies that we can't fully support, but our goal, our vision is to make sure that regardless of where your infrastructure lives and the technology it runs on, that you're able to, we just recognize that it is important to see that in the greater context. So I think for these teams who happen to be still on mainframes or running all kinds of technology, older technologies, I don't think the focus on observability should change a whole lot. Yes, the technology is different and there may be some limitations that on-prem applications have versus cloud-based. But this idea of understanding the health of the application that's running, setting expectations for what good versus bad looks like, thinking about things like SLOs, service level objectives to try and quantify what your expectations are for the health of your services, all of that stuff still applies. And so I think these teams can work through some of the technical details and realities that they have to deal with, but still keep this sort of modern observability focus in mind and can still change from this notion of, even though those applications may have been initially released at a time when it was dev versus ops, there's a lot of opportunity now for a much more current modern view, holistic view of the health of those services.
I think therein lies a little bit of the challenge that absolutely we need to make sure that that estate is still monitored and to the extent observable. Many times I believe that some organizations feel that, hey, look, we're not quite there yet. We're not really going to the cloud. We're not really a cloud native firm. So why do we need to establish new tool sets like a Datadog? Can't we just stick with the old? Hey, it tells us up, down, red, yellow, green. It's, so to speak, observable. Again, it's a different definition versus what's the additive, maybe, I would say, that can be gained from a Datadog-like platform, Mark, if we can take that one step further.
Sure. So I think, some of this comes down to, I keep coming back to this, but it is about ultimately the value to the big business to begin with. So if you have an application that's solid, has been running a long time, is pretty reliable, then maybe it is a little less critical for you to, and maybe you know you're end of lifing at a certain point. Sure, that's not a place that you necessarily want to invest. If you have an application that is continues to be critical to the business, regardless of the technology that it's built on, then you want to ensure that you have eyes on the health of that system, the application, the infrastructure as much as possible. And so when for folks who are looking at tools like Datadog, looking for this sort of broad visibility, it's really about ensuring that, again, that the most people can have eyes on the most data possible. So it really is about, as I mentioned at the top, about getting all this data into one place, because different people come at it with different perspectives. So if I can see hotspots in context of whether it's services for a given cloud provider and I'm noticing trends, or it is certain applications versus others, or possibly even areas where I see response times or a notable number of alerts happening in one part of my business versus another. Maybe it has to do with the practices on those teams. There's so many different angles that you can look mm-hmm. at this data and ask questions of this data, that by having it in one place, by having more people have eyes on it, it gives you each data point is that much more valuable because so much more can be extracted from it. So that's really the goal of moving to a platform like Datadog, is getting out of the place where if you send data into a tool that nobody can really use, nobody likes to use, and it's kind of in some far back corner that three people look at, that might be exactly what you need. That might be just enough. But if that, what that does is it keeps that data in a place where nobody else can tap into the value there. And so I think that's really how companies are looking at making this move, is if I want to get the most value out of everything that I send into a given tool, whatever that tool might be, then the way that I do that is by doing so in a way that I can then correlate it with all this other data that's coming in at the same time. And that's where all this metadata, the tagging that we talked about, the ability to pivot between different views, whether it's logs or traces or metrics, that's where platforms like ours really shine and help companies who are interested in moving in that direction.
Yeah, you mentioned something earlier too, and I wrote it down, was this concept of extensibility. So you've talked about the collaborative nature of bringing some of this data together, which is incorporating technology and humans. And you've also talked about extensibility, which I think is so important. And as I think through that, I think through some other things that are happening in the industry. So we saw OpenCensus and OpenTracing come together for OpenTelemetry. We've seen Cloud Events, I think is a CNCF incubator project now. We saw Google, I think, just donated Native, which has, I think, eventing, which is part of this this idea of telemetry. So we're seeing more open source standards. Datadog has been a huge proponent of open source and some of these standards. But how are you partnering with some of these projects? How are you contributing to some of these projects? Because you are incredibly flexible, you are incredibly extensible, and the open source, and not just open source. I'm going to throw out a plug too that I think you were early days with extended Berkeley packet filter, which is, I think, a fascinating, and I think it's going to have so much applicability in the future. And I think your security and some of your networking products already rely on eBPF. So how are some of the things that are changing in the industry as a whole? How are you taking advantage of those? I think they probably have massive applicability for folks consuming and uptick in adopting platforms such as yourselves. But what does some of that movement mean to Datadog, to the customer, and then how are you kind of contributing back to those open source movements?
That's a lot. let me see. So yeah, so absolutely, we have a lot of involvement in some of the open source projects that you've mentioned, OpenTelemetry. There's a eBPF we're working a lot with. So we are, we value that a great deal. We use a lot of open source technologies ourselves. And so I think, if I think about looking at open source projects, looking at our interactions there, we are both trying to contribute, you know, bring our expertise into, you know, OpenTelemetry. And I think the reality is there's a balance, right? There is a lot of value in agreed upon standards across, say, OpenTelemetry. And I think that there is this combination of how can we, essentially what we're balancing is wanting to make sure that people have the tools they need, the views of data, the standard formats that they need in order to be successful. And frankly, there is then the sort of counterbalance of some of the native, some of the features that we offer that are just hard to do in an open source kind of way, right? Mm. And so really we're trying to strike that balance of both of them, recognizing we have we have OpenTelemetry conversations quite a bit. It is, you know, obviously growing and it's hugely valuable. And then it comes to, again, the conversation of what is most important to you. OpenTelemetry can be extremely helpful when you're working with multiple tools or making changes or, looking to move from one to another. And so there's a lot of value there. And then at the same time, it's pretty early days. And so we're happy to contribute and work to that to continue to improve that functionality and grow the functionality there, while at the same time recognizing that then there are some features and functionality that are not going to be available as open source. And that's where we can, you know, work with customers to find that right balance. But in terms of the value of the open source community generally, it's a huge part of what we do.
I think it is going to change, reduce the friction and some of the barriers of folks making their products, their applications, et cetera, more observable. And so I think we're going to see a tremendous uptick. I think it's very difficult to stitch all this together. Datadog does it incredibly well because they take a platform view, but very, very difficult to stitch it together. And so having some of these standards, I'm really excited about. I'm looking forward to some of the best practices coming out of that.
I think with that, Mark, we would really like to thank you for your time here today. And we're looking forward to working with Datadog and the rest of your teams in the near future.
Yeah, thank you guys. I really, really enjoyed the conversation. Thank you guys for having me here. I feel like there's so much we didn't get to touch on, but we can, you know, that's for part two and part three down the road.
I like that. Love it. So we'd also like to thank Podcast SCV for hosting us today. We really appreciate the studio. We love partnering with them. Thank you, Mark. We look forward to having you back. Good luck on all your successes, and we look forward to that next acquisition.
Thanks so much. Good luck to you guys, too, with the podcast.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.